Thessalonians chapter 3 tonight. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul has sent a letter to them from, I believe, Corinth. Has found out the their state, is thankful for that. He writes verse 6, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity," there's that faith and love that the faith is all about, "your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you for the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus, and the communion, Lord, that we have together through your Spirit, through your word. I thank you for the good services this morning. Lord, I know that your Spirit used your word to work in hearts, Heavenly Father, and we thank you, we praise you for that, dear God, and we pray that the message that you have spoken would be remembered by all, and that we would apply it, God, to our hearts, to our lives, and draw closer to you. And Lord, here we are tonight once again, and you're here with us, Father, and fill me with your Spirit, help me to minister the word to your dear people tonight, and be with Sister Lindsay and the nursery, Father, and bless her and fill her, watching the children, dear God. And Lord, for all those who would be here but cannot, might they find solace in you and time of prayer and fellowship with you. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all the promises of your word that we have, which so clearly teach us about you, about your love, your power, your wisdom, and God, what a strength in life, what a hope. And God, once again, edify your church tonight and help us and strengthen us. We might glorify your name. Help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. We had communion this morning, and as I was praying about the messages today, earlier in the week, and just felt led to kind of preach this one tonight on just a few more thoughts about communion and the fellowship that we have together in the Lord. What is communion? It's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or a spiritual level. There's that closeness that we have. And so I'm titled the message tonight simply, "The Comfort of Communion." The comfort of communion. Some things that we share together in communion as believers. First of all, we share the same conflict. We share in the same conflict. We are fighting the good fight of faith. It's the good fight, and we're in this same battle together. And when the Apostle Paul was writing to these Thessalonian believers, they were in the heat of that. Remember, he had to leave that city quickly after just 3 weeks because the persecution was so great. And so they were in the heat of that battle quickly. They had those who, you know, had thrown Paul and Barnabas into into prison there in Philippi, had followed them quickly to Thessalonica and stirred up folks, and so they had to flee quickly. And he's writing back to find out, he's concerned about them because they had such little time to spend with him there, and he finds out the Lord's keeping them. They're doing well, and what a wonderful thing. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We're appointed to afflictions. All that live what? Godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So in that sense, we're appointed. If we're resolved to follow the Lord, I am resolved no longer to linger. I follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. If that song of our lips is a song of our hearts, then we're appointed to afflictions. And there are going to be some. And so they were. Paul was concerned about them. And he says, in verse 4 there, he says, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass." They didn't have to wait long to see that. "As you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." The tempter. We have the same tempter, don't we? He's out after us. We're in that same battle. It's interesting how being in the same battle can unite you together. Think about Pilate and Herod when they were at odds with each other, the Bible says. But what happened? They got into a common battle. They each had to figure out what to do with Jesus. And neither one of them did the right thing. And yet being in that common battle, what? Knit them together. They were made friends after that. They were knit together against Jesus. Think about the. Of course, this is an illustration on a negative sense. Think about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were over the synagogues generally. The Sadducees were over the temple in the days of the Lord Jesus. And yet, what? We don't find them too much fighting with each other while Jesus was there. Why? Because they found a common enemy, and it drew them together. And so we see that illustrated on a negative sense there. Well, we have a common enemy, and on the positive sense, it draws us together, and we're in the same conflict. We see the same trials. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," who's adversary? Yours, mine, all of us. "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that," what? "The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." All around the world, this family here faces the same enemy. He's got his forces after us, and so we share in the same conflict. We have that communion, that closeness. Because of that, in Philippians 1:29-30, Paul wrote to them also, because you know that there was great persecution. That's where they were thrown in prison. He said, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." Some of them were being thrown in prison just like the Apostle Paul was. And they were being beaten just like Paul and Silas were. And of course, he wrote that letter to the Philippians from prison. And he says, we're in that same battle. And we experience that. So remember that. We sing, "He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone." And truly, that's an anchor of our faith. But let's also remember, we're never alone as far as the brethren go either. There are brethren all around the world that are facing the same trials, the same struggles that we're facing. And many much, much greater trials, much greater struggles. I was reading somewhere that there was something like 60,000 Christians imprisoned in North Korea now. And it's just, there's a lot of stuff going on. And we're in the same battle. We share the same conflict. Secondly, this communion, what else do we have regarding communion as believers and family? We share in the same comfort. Look at verse 2 in 1 Thessalonians 3. "Paul sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Concerning your faith. Where do we get our comfort? From our faith. From the Word of God. We share the same comfort. In Romans 15:4, Paul writes, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." That's where we get our patience. That's where our faith comes from. That's where our foundation is that comfort that the scriptures have give us. And Christ has, of course, made them known to us. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, God is the God of all comfort. And he comforts us through that word of God. I think about how Jesus, we talked this morning, how he communicated to us by his word this faith. He said in John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. He made known those things. We get comfort in the scripture. We share the same comfort. We go to the same place. I was thinking of kind of witnessing a bit to one of the drivers that I see at the shop there. And he had shared with me what he believes. He says he believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he believes in the Savior, he says, but he doesn't believe that's necessary for others. And that God would never send, you know, someone to hell just because they were raised with a different religion than somebody else. And he kind of took up all the time. And so I just kind of said, well, we'll put a pin on it there. And had to go drive the bus. He kind of took up all the time there. But as I was thinking how he shared that, the difference is that I get my faith. I believe the whole Bible. You see, the same people that wrote about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only way we know about that is because they wrote it. Well, and those same people that wrote it also said he's the only way. They also said he's the way, the truth, and the life for all people. So if the only record I have of the resurrection is what they said, and those same people said he's the only way of salvation for all nations, how do I pick which to believe of what they said if I don't believe at all? See what I'm saying? And so we have comfort in the Word of God. I like what Brother Dennis had in the bulletin there today, how that we don't add to the Word of God. We don't take away from the Word of God. This is our comfort. This is our hope right here, amen? And this is what we're founded on. And we believe it, and we believe it all, amen? And I'm thankful for that. The comfort of the Scriptures, the unchanging, pure, and perfect Word of God that we can run to and trust in and stand upon every day of our lives. We share the same conflict. We share the same comfort. Thirdly, we share the same care. That is, we have the same one caring for us. We're under the same care. He is the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Who's watching over us? God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're under the care of the great Savior, of the great Shepherd. And so we have that fellowship. We can call upon him at any time. Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm that caught a vessel off a rocky coast, and it threatened to drive it and its passengers to destruction into the rocky coast and such. And in the midst of the terror, one daring man, contrary to orders, went to the deck, made a dangerous passage to the pilot house, and saw the steerman he was at his post holding the wheel unwaveringly, and inch by inch he was turning the ship out once more to sea, away from the dangerous rocky cliffs there. And the pilot saw the watcher, the guy that was watching him, turned and smiled. Then the daring passenger went below and gave out a note of cheer. I've seen the face of the pilot, and he smiled. All is well. Isn't that a good picture? And, you know, some may trust in the pilot, but we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's in control of the ship, isn't he? He's in control of the vessel. And we can look to his face and know he has everything under control. And we trust him. You know, I thought about, when I'm in an airplane, I think about the Lord. He's in control. Yes, I'm thankful there's a trained pilot there, and most likely they've checked to make sure he's not drunk. I'm thankful for that. But frankly, I don't put my trust in that. I know that God has overseen it all. Before he created the world, he knew who would be flying that plane and who'd be on it. And so we can look to the great pilot, amen. And so we trust in him. He's capable of caring for us in every circumstance, in every situation. He has overseen it, looked through it, looked to the end of it, and knows all of these things. We share the same conflict, the same comfort. We're under the same care, all this communion. We share the same compassion. We share the same compassion. Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, the Bible says. When you get saved, isn't it wonderful that God puts a love in your heart? That's one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? The first one mentioned, love. Love. A love back toward God. A love for believers. Other believers. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, which you read. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Isn't that good? That fellowship of the Spirit that just comes immediately. I remember that. I looked at people differently when I got saved. There are people that before I got saved, I thought I was a lot better than them, and I didn't think they were worthy of my friendship. That kind of proud, haughty thing. They weren't cool like me. That's the way I looked at some people. When I got saved, folks, that changed, because I realized there was somebody that died for me, and I was going to hell just like the rest of the world. And when somebody else says I got saved, he saved me too. Hey, we have a bond right there. We have a bond right there. Because Jesus is the reason I'm going to heaven. By the way, he's the only reason anybody's going to heaven is when they trust in him. There's that compassion toward those that have exercised like precious faith, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That desire, they desired to see Paul. Paul said, we desire to see you there, verse 6. He says in verse 7, therefore, brethren, there's that family, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. That's pretty good. Paul says, really, living for us is hearing that you're doing well. Because we came willing to die that you might believe and grow in the Lord. And so it just makes our life joyful when we hear that you are living the same way toward others. You're sharing the faith. You're willing to go out and die for others giving the gospel. You have the same desire and joy when you see others that you've spoken to. You're growing in the Lord. And what a blessed communion that is, in this fellowship that we have together. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. I like that. A love of the brethren is put in our hearts, a sincere love of the brethren. Peter talked about that in salvation. He said in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, in other words, they believe the gospel. The command is to believe the gospel. Seeing, they have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What happens when you get saved? You get an unfeigned love of the brethren. It's not acting. It's a real thing. It is in your heart. It is the seed of the Spirit. It is the Word of God. You get a love for the brethren. And why? Because you have the same Father, the same Spirit and Word that begat you, begat them. Amen. And thank God for that, that love, that communion that we have with the saints, with that same compassion, that love for Christ, that love for others, and we rejoice in that in communion. as that family. Once during Queen Victoria's reign, she heard that the wife of a common laborer had lost her baby. Having experienced deep sorrow herself, she felt moved to express her sympathy. So she called on the bereaved woman one day and spent some time with her. After she left, the neighbors asked what the queen had said. "Nothing," replied the grieving woman. "She simply put her hands on mine, and we silently wept together." Isn't that good? Communion, that fellowship, sharing in the same in the same compassion. I kept you long this morning. I'm gonna let you go early tonight. Fifthly and finally, we share in the same certainty. We share in the same certainty. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." Yes, he does. "And toward all men." Amen. "Even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father," here it is, "at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." What is it we're looking for? We're looking for his coming. Amen. He is coming again, folks. And he is coming, coming again. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:14, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." That's where you and I were before we got saved. Vanity and vexation of spirit, unless what? Unless we know he's coming. He's coming. We have the same certainty. And there is a relationship which makes life complete. Without that relationship, there's a void, a vacuum in life. Many people, even those who are well known, can attest to that void. H.G. Wells, famous historian and philosopher, said at age 61, "I have no peace. All life is at the end of the tether." The poet Byron said, "My days are in yellow leaf. The flowers and fruits of life are gone. The worm and the canker and the grief are mine alone." The literary genius Thoreau said, "Most men live lives of quiet desperation." Ralph Barton, one of the top cartoonists of the nations, left this note pinned to his pillow before taking his own life. "I have had few difficulties, many friends, great successes. I have gone from wife to wife, from house to house, visited great countries of the world, but I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day." And then he took his own life. Folks, we have the peace that passes all understanding, amen? And it's because we're not looking at this world, we're looking beyond this world. There's someone coming from beyond, amen? And by the way, he's taking us to the beyond, isn't he? And he's going to change us in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to go where we never grow old. We're going to go where no sickness and sorrow can enter. We're going to go where there's no more parting. We're going to go where there's no more sin, amen? We're going to go where in his presence there is fullness of joy. And pleasures forevermore, and we're going to go there, and we're going to be with him. And so we have that assurance, we have that certainty, we have that confidence, and we don't face the despair that a world that lives with a mind that is not focused upon those things, that desperation that can come. And we have far more than that. What a communion we have as believers in all that Christ has done for us. And we're thankful for the strength and the hope and the comfort and the peace that it gives us and that we have to offer to others if they'll but what? Believe on him. They can reach out and grasp that same gift of salvation, that same grace the Lord offers. And the Lord help us to share that message as we have opportunities. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your people, and I thank you for your presence with us always, Lord. And
I do thank you for the good services this morning, for the visitors who came, and Father, might your word just do its your blessed work in our hearts. We do thank you that we could celebrate communion and just celebrate hearts that are yielded to you and walking with you, God, and keeping a short list on our strayings and our sins and confessing them before you. We thank you for that opportunity and privilege that we have to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, Father, might we be there often. And we thank you for the grace that you always give, sufficient that we might glorify your name. And Father, just help us to be careful to thank you and praise you, to glorify you this week in the way that we live, the words that we say, the thoughts that we think. And Father, help us in these things, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.